Okay, anyway, so someone guessed that I was going to talk about Purim. I don't know. I guess that's a good guess. Being that it's really, we shouldn't talk about Purim until next week. But I assume the guys aren't here next week. And the week after, maybe the guys will be back. When are the guys coming back?
Yeah. No?
We're coming back on Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay. So we're going to talk about Tuesday. But okay. But you got to make hachanas for Purim, so... Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about Purim. Now, the first rule thing, an injunction, is that Purim is, Baruch Hashem, a very, very happy day. And it's very important that guys should be happy. So, Chas V'Shalom, no one's trying to make Purim an unhappy day. When I think Purim, okay, we're going to cancel Purim, and we're going to make Seder all day in Purim, everyone should learn, you know. It's important, even for the guys, Ruchnias, to have happiness. We said this many, many times, that's part of Musar B'Zbaivis. It's like you look back on the year and you say it was a great year. And so the Simcha adds to the fact that the Ruchnias, the Musar, everything goes in. If you look back and it was a miserable year, then you just, I want to forget it as fast as I can. So we want guys to be happy. And it's a mitzvah to be happy. And even if it has nothing to do with Purim, right? The yeshiva has even an Ein Bein party, which has absolutely nothing to do with Purim. Even an Ein Bein party that's not even on Purim Katan, right? So that's for sure, you know. Because we definitely agree. There's an Indian to be happy, and we want the guys to be happy, and we're not trying to kill the fun. And even if it comes out that the happiness, that it's not because, you know, nothing to do with the mitzvah of Purim, if it makes you happy, fine. Okay. With that introduction, so the goal is not to make guys unhappy. I just want to put it in the perspective. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, you can do things too, but okay. Anyway, let's put it in the perspective. First of all, Purim, the Maisa, is intrinsically an amazing day in the Svarim. It's an amazing day in Ruchnius. We quoted many, many times that there's a Svarim point out, many Svarim, that Yom Kippur, which we think is probably the highest day of Ruchnius in the year, is called Kippur. And many Svarim say, Kah is Chafadimyon. It's like Kippur Purim, which means that Purim is really on a higher madrega of Yom Kippur. Purim is Yom Kippur. Is like Purim, right? What is that supposed to mean? It means that a person has the capacity to reach a higher level of kedusha on Purim than on Yom Kippur. It sounds pretty hard to understand, and I happen to agree it's hard to understand. But that's what it seems they say. What does that mean? I don't know. How does that jibe with the fact that there seems to be some mitzvah of drinking? If anything, it would seem to be the opposite. So just for the record, just not that anyone wants to know, but just the mana emes, what most people drink is nothing to do with the mitzvah. It's like drinking on Yom Be, on Ein Bein, on when it's a nitche, right? You know, nothing to do with the mitzvah, you know. Because most people drink at night, the two nights, right? There's no mitzvah drinking Purim night. Nobody says there's a mitzvah drinking at night. And there's no mitzvah drinking on Shushan Purim. Right? Not even Purim. That's what most of the drinking is. The only possibility of a mitzvah is on Purim itself, which most people don't drink because people are going out to the Ring Shachmos, whatever. And, you know, you don't want to be drunk. It's dangerous being, you know, just drive a car, whatever. So very few people drink then. It could be a shaychet Hashem. People see you drunk outside the street. Whatever it is, that's not the minhag. What is the... But even there, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, it says, and Mechaber says, you're supposed to say Adila Yada. Mishnah Berurah says, Adila Yada. I hate to disappoint all those people. It does not mean that you're so drunk that you can't tell the difference. Mishnah Berurah has a very complicated pshat. But that there are two very fine things, Arar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. There are two miracles on Purim that happened. One, that we got rid of Haman. Two, that Mordechai became the Mishnah and the Melech. Which miracle is greater? person. Most people, even when they're sober, can't tell the difference. But the if a person would could, you know, begins to drinks a drop, then it's hard to discern the difference because they're almost exactly the same. So that's the share of Adela Yad, according to Mishnah Berurah. Came on the Ramah and says, you don't have to drink so much. So all you have to drink is Yosher Merigelo. That's what the rule. That's how the at least Ashkenaz and Paskin, Yosher Merigelo, which hopefully for most of us is not very much. The Ramah does say it's better if you do Yosher Merigelo, then you take a nap. Then you for sure get the Adela Yada. But many people, I mean, do not take a nap. It's not necessarily always time for that, especially if you're. And it seems that your yaitzu is just yaitzu meregedo alone. If you have time to take a nap, you know, go out, very nice. But anyway, that the question is, but there is some inyan of drinking. So how does that jibe with the fact that this is like the most spiritual Kaddish Dika day of the year, that it's most mesugal for Ruchnius? So I said last year, and I heard it from one of my rabbeim. I heard it from Rav Shia. It's a chassidus shibshan because it comes from the Baal Shem Tov. So obviously it's chassidus shibshan. The pshat is, if we say a story that the Baal Shem Tov sold some of his talmidim, there was a tremendous sara in Klal Yisrael, and he told his talmidim, you must go to this city and get that such and so that so and so. He told the name of the person. You know, obviously the Jewish name, not the English name. Chaim ben David will go ahead and be mispado that the tzara should go away, and that's the only way it will be saved from the tzara. So they go to the city and they ask the people, where's the tzaddik, Rav Chaim? Whatever, I may give the name, I don't remember the name. So they said, there's no tzaddik, Rav Chaim. What do you mean? Must be the Baal Shem Tov sent the city. Maybe it's a snister, whatever. They said, look, you can't find anyone. Finally, they find that the town drunk, that's his name. So apparently the Baal Shem Tov must have meant the town drunk. But he's not a chassadik nister. He's a town drunk. He's drunk 24 hours 7. So the Talmide Baal Shem Tov, they lock him up in a room. They don't let him get his whiskey. He finally gets sober. They tell the Baal Shem Tov that he has to daven, that the tzara should go away. He davens. Sure enough, the tzara goes away, and they give him his whiskey, and he gets back drunk again. So they go back to the Baal Shem Tov and they ask him, like, what's pshat? Like, why this guy's a town drunk, mamish, why should it be? What's going on here? So the Baal Shem Tov said that this person once did a certain mitzvah. And there are certain skudas in the Torah. And that mitzvah, skuda for that mitzvah is that his fetus will be accepted. A certain skuda, I regret that, I don't know what it was that he did. So I can't do it. But he did it. He had that. So he got that schus that all his fetus will be accepted. Except the guy's a bum. So now there's a big problem. All his fetus is going to be accepted. He can go put up a sign and go into business. Anyone wants anything? You want to be a millionaire? Come to me. Give me $50,000. I'll give you a dive and you'll be a millionaire. You'll be a millionaire. You know, he's gonna, you know, he doesn't know how to use properly his scooter. So Hashem made him a drunkard. Oh, if he's a drunkard, now he won't make, he won't, he has the ability to give brachas, but he won't mess up the world because he'd be drunk all day. So he won't give brachas. So he said, that's Pshat and Purim. Purim is a day of getting so much Kedusha, so much Ruchnius, but it's too easy. So Hashem had to make it a little difficult. Okay, so he gave a mitzvah to drink. Some people, they get so busy drinking, they miss out on the mitzvah of getting all the ruchnias. That's the Baal Shem Tov's shot. Okay, for all those who like the Baal Shem Tov's shot. Okay, I'm not so crazy about that shot because that's a little funny that the mitzvah is to help to make it more difficult to get out of the day. I know, it sounds a little funny, but that's what he said. The way I would understand it, I don't know, is that that there's this famous Rambam that says, Rashi's always quoted on Simchas Torah, you know, there's a different shot, that a person can become a very high level of Ruchniyah through Simcha. Because if you appreciate what it means to be a Jew, you appreciate the mitzvahs, you appreciate the Torah, it makes you, in other words, you can serve Hashem Me'ava, you can serve Me'ira. right? You can have, I love mitzvahs, I love ruchnias, I love it. And the ava, of course, is a year. I don't want to do an avera because I don't want to lose what I love. So it's a very high level to serve Hashem ava. The problem is that, in other words, I'll give an example. A person, some people, I don't know whether I say it right or wrong, but some people, they'll go ahead to a wedding and they want to dance because it's their best friend, but they say, I'm too embarrassed to dance, so I take one drink and then it takes away my inhibitions and then I can dance. Okay, I would tell them this and overcome your inhibitions and dance without the drink, but okay. But the guy says, so what is the drinking, that one drinking does? It allows me to express what I really want to express, to get rid of my inhibitions. So I think that's Pshat and Purim. On a proper madrega, a person is supposed to want to dance because I love Hashem. I want to go ahead and scream from the rooftops, the Torah is amazing, and root mitzvahs are amazing, and I'm in love, and et cetera, et cetera. Except I'm a little embarrassed. You know, people, I'm going to show that I'm a tzaddik. I'm really not such a tzaddik. I'm embarrassed. People should see I'm a tzaddik. I'm a tzaddik. So you take a drink, and then your real insides come out. But your real inside is that you're going to really celebrate the mitzvahs. You're going to be simcha because of the ruchnias. I'm so happy that I'm Jewish, right? The shalom asani goy, I'm going crazy. Wow. So what the drinking does is allows you to express your simcha and ruchnias, and memeda, that reaches you the highest level, because once you express it, then it becomes more part of you, right? Chitzonius maris apnimius, and it's yatsa min akayach awapayo. That's real. I didn't mean right. Chitzonius maris apnimius. Yatsa min akayach awapayo is that when something is just theoretical, it's not as strong. When you actually give vent to it, it's stronger. So you're giving vent to your emotions of how much you love Hashem, how much you love Ruchnias, how much you love being a Jew. I mean, I suspect that what the pshat is. So that they definitely say that the stories of all the Gedolim who did get, you know, not most, many, many Gedolim did not drink, but some Gedolim did. That is true. So it seems that most, my impression is that most didn't, but some did. Is what they said is they you sit all day and learned and said divrei Torah. I heard from one person, he said, they were talking about, he was a Talmid Rav Kook. He said Rav Kook would spend all day saying divrei Torah, but he would usually, there were certain divrei Torah he wouldn't want to say. He was like embarrassed, like too much of a chiddush. And he would say, he would like reveal himself more. He let himself loose. He didn't let himself loose. He let himself loose by saying more chidushim, by davening with more fervor, you know. Anyway, that's what I suspect is the real inyan of Purim. But be that as it may, Purim is definitely, whatever pshat is, there's tremendous ruchnias that one can get on Purim. So, whether the drinking is a nisayin or it's supposed to help us, I don't know, whichever pshat you like better. But either way, it's chaval to mess up on that ruchnias. So we should, to some extent, at some time in Purim, you know, I don't say the whole Purim, because again, we start in the beginning, guys have to be happy. And it's a mitzvah to be happy, and a mitzvah to be joy, and because it, but some time in Purim should be spent in chapping the ruchnias of Purim. The yeshiva in past years, we've tried to have a Seder Purim morning, and I think a shir. I think, right? I think we did that last year. After breakfast, we had a short Seder. Yeah, okay. I think that's a very good idea, because you should have there should be a little learning in Purim. You know, something about, you know, you should have to try and chap some of the ruchnias of Purim, too. It's a kodesh dika day. Okay, anyway. That's... You know, it's the impression I get that's, I asked many Gedolim how Purim was in Europe, and they all tell me it was not like in America. You know, America Purim is a little bit Halloween. But Purim in Europe was, he said most people, but it was a happy day, very happy day. But he said people weren't drunk. It was, you know, it's Lebedek, you know. But okay, and what? I don't know. I'll tell you the truth. I do not know. I don't know. And it's not so practical because I do not even advocating it so much. Because I want the guys to be happy. It's also a mitzvah. And I think even if it's not the mitzvah of Purim, it's a mitzvah of all year. Guys should have an enjoyable Purim. But something, part of Purim, you know, that should definitely be part of it. Part of Purim should be spiritually uplifting. We don't want to miss out totally on the Ruchnius part of Purim.
And how do we know what that Ruchnius part is?
So I don't know. Regretfully, I don't know. I'm just telling you, you try. You try and dive in with extra kavanah. Say on Yom Kippur. Do you dive with more kavanah on Yom Kippur than the rest of the year?
You probably dive in with more kavanah on Yom Kippur than your Purim.
Well,
not
so, okay, so I'm saying, so on Purim, you should try and dive an extra kavanah. If you know that Purim is a day that's miyuchid, somehow mystically, to be extra kaddish, and there's a, so on Purim, you should dive in with extra kavanah. If you know that the day on Shavuos, you dive an extra kavanah, you know, a day that you know is special, so you try extra kavanah, you try Seder, a little bit of learning. We'll try and have some heartsing zmiris, we'll see. You know, try and have, there should be some dimension of it that's ruchnius. Okay. I didn't say the whole day should be ruchnius. What?
Is there an Moses setting the burn?
I do not know. I keep on admitting. I don't know. I assume no one knows. Certain things maybe got lost. You know, maybe some people do know. Ask Rav Aaron Schechter what the Avodah of Purim is. I don't know. I don't know. I never seen it done. So I can't tell you. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But that's what it seems. And this, as far as I do say it, there is some tremendous mystical kayak to Purim. So we want to try and get it. I don't know. Okay, let's go further. Lemaisa, the minig in the world is that guys do many wonderful things to try and enjoy the simchas Purim, which is fine. We very much want guys to be happy. Except, just one little thing is we want that the guy should not be over any averis in the process, right? In other words, just because you're supposed to be happy doesn't mean we can go out now to McDonald's and eat, non-kosher food. So, right? So hopefully, making sure that it's kosher is not detracting from the simcha. That's right. Okay. So I have a few observations now. I not everything everybody necessarily agrees with me. I agree. Obviously, some people disagree with me, as I've been told. But okay. The biggest issue that bothers me on Purim, not bothers me, that I worry about. First of all, is mevaza pnei chaver barabim. That to me is a major thing. It's one of the biggest averis in the Torah. Mevaza pnei chaver barabim eino chayek lam haba. You don't say that about too many averis. Eating chazer is not eino chayek lam haba. Even mechal o Shabbos, I don't think it says eino chayek lam haba. It's big. It's even the Shari Tshuva says it's. You don't even say that by Ritzicha. If you kill the guy, we don't say Ainu Pekhab. So it's a pretty serious affair. Now, it might only be if you do a B'mezid, and this is Shaygek, but even so, we won't say so. You're not doing it B'mezid, but doing B'Shaygek and Avera that's done B'mezid is Ainu Pekhab, but it's also not too good. So we do have to be careful not to be mevaza pnei chaver barabim. So this is, I do have a disagreement with some people. What's called mevaza pnei chaver barabim? My assumption, maybe because just I know about myself that I'm a very sensitive person, and also I keep on saying because I was once the star of the Purim play, without anyone telling me, and I, there is certain things that could be mevaza pnei chaver barabim that you have to be careful. So I know we have this always a discussion. Gramim are fine, are fun, and I heard they did a Shabbat, fine, gramim. But when guys are drunk and do gramim, it can be very dangerous. Because when you're drunk and your seichel is not all there, and then you say something which can be very, very hurtful. Because people do not enjoy having their chesreinas pointed out in the rabbim, in the yeshiva, and everyone laughing at them. You know, that probably gets pretty close to mevazeh plechaveh barabbim. So if someone has a certain chisarin, you know, and you notice it, so, and especially not everyone notices it, and then you're going to make a gramim to point it out, and everyone's going to laugh about it, it's not such a good idea. I don't think it's such a good idea. So you do have to be careful when they get up and make, even in the Purim play, you got to be careful. There are certain jokes that are funny, that they're not really insulting. You make fun of kodal wives, okay, you make fun of rabbeim, I don't know, certain things. But when it gets very personal, you know, and you got like something which is this particular person, you know, he has a certain quirk, and he does something, and you know, and you make fun of his particular quirk that he does, and he's a little embarrassed about it, and you highlight it, you know, from the very one. I don't know. You got to be careful. So it doesn't. I don't mean, you know, Purim play is a gevaldik. Whoever's writing the Purim play, doing the Purim play, mitzvah gedayda to be. Mizaka the Rabbin, right? Manitova, was that what it's called? Right? But it didn't make fun of anyone, right? It just made fun of Stam Chafetz Chaim guys. And what?
Didn't it make fun of Rashi a little bit?
I don't remember. Certain things are, I'm saying, you have to use, like, certain things people are not, I haven't seen it for years, I can't tell you. But I would assume certain things are not making fun of. I'm saying if a guy has a weird quirk that's like embarrassing, and you highlight his quirk that he does wrong, that could be embarrassing. Because, you know, I was hoping that no one noticed that I do that wrong. And then you know, if you have Rabbi Nyman singing when he's learning, I don't think that's embarrassing. No one, there's nothing wrong. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's to be praiseworthy that he likes to sing, you know, and he's lebedik, and he's happy. There's nothing, so imitating Rabbi Nyman singing, and you know, it's not, I don't think that's any problem. I don't think Rabbi Nyman would have any debate on that. But if someone has a chisarin, which he's a little bit uncomfortable about, and he's probably a little bit embarrassed about, because it's really and people do have, I don't want to give any examples because I don't want to embarrass anyone, but people have certain quirks in their behavior that are not, you know, that is not always something that he's so proud of. And he sort of thinks very often, oh, but probably no one notices it. You know, like, get away with it. And next thing he knows, in front of the whole yeshiva, they put it on the screen and they highlight it, you know. I can hear the guy would not be too happy. Right? So you have to use your seichel, what the person, you know, okay, I can't, there's no absolute rule. You know, I remember my first year as a Rebbe, that in Israel, I was a Rebbe in Israel, and there was a guy that always came late for Seder. You know. Okay. And he always came late from Seder. And the guy was into learning, but he was always late. Now, you know, worse than late. It was a group, maybe it was in Shir, but it probably was in Shir, and he was asking some question, and you know, I wanted to go right there. So and he didn't back up. I wanted to go right there. I can answer your question. I'll talk to you later. So they said, I'll be here in the morning. I don't know about you, but I'll be here. The guy started to cry. He ran out of Shir crying. I was like, I was devastated. Oh, I said, I said, I don't even know if I said, I don't know if you'll be. I said, don't worry, I'll be here in the morning. You know, maybe I'm playing. I'm not sure if you'll be here, but I'll be here in the morning. You know, you can ask me. You see, you never know what people are now. Here, the guy, he never came on time for Seder. Like, everyone knew he comes late in the morning. Like, it's so embarrassing. I say, you might not be here. I'll be here. But yeah, it was very embarrassing. He started crying. I'm not saying he's wrong. I was wrong, you know. But it was a lesson that here's something that I thought that I didn't think a guy would care. And he burst out crying. 19-year-old boy. You know, not a boy, a young man. Burst out crying. And he ran out of the building. He ran. I had to go chase after him, you know. Like, it was terrible. So you never know. Some people can be very sensitive about things that we don't hear this. To me, that's a big thing. You got to be careful not to be involved in Bnei Chaver B'Rabin. Okay. The second big thing that I worry about is you got to be careful with Shemart Mesnaf Shosecha. It's a mitzvah. You have to watch your health. So you can't do anything that's dangerous, which means you can't drive if you're drinking. Right? You can't run into the street. You know, you can't. Right? Anyhow, but okay. People have been known to do things like that. The yeshiva prefers, I know, you know, again, everyone is there, that if the guys do want to drink, they prefer that they use either wine or beer. First of all, the mitzvah is on wine. I don't know about beer as a mitzvah, but wine, as everybody says, is a mitzvah. So you might as well drink, you might as well do it with the way of the mitzvah. You're drinking it during the night, there's no mitzvah anyway. Okay, I don't know. Good kasha. But the reason for that is that guys who drink with the hard liquor, very often they don't realize how much they're drinking because it doesn't hit them right away, and then they drink more, and then they get, and we have this very often, that sometimes very serious, sincere guys, they get the most drunk. And anyway, we had cases like the guy in the yeshiva, you never expect. We had to call the ambulance, take him to the hospital. Because shot is that he drank a little. He doesn't know how much he's supposed to drink. He doesn't know. He's not an experienced drinker. He drinks a little bit, nothing happens. So he drinks some more, and then bang, it hits him, and he's finished. So he basically collapsed. Last year, Errol Paskin, that was the best Purim we ever had, because there was not too much vomit, which is a very nice thing. You know, it's not part of Simcha's Purim to be vomiting all over the place. It doesn't, even for your own Purim Simcha, and for other guys' Simcha. So liquor, hard stuff does cause that sometimes. Guys can't control it. It causes guys to vomit. It causes guys to fall asleep on the floor. Like, why in the world would you want to spend Purim sleeping, the whole Purim, because you're drunk? You know, like, why is that a happy Purim? I have guys that slept through the whole Purim, or they wake up, I don't remember anything. So, like, why is that? So it's the assumption is that even for yourselves, you'll enjoy Purim much more if you drink wine or liquor or beer. You're able to get to the level that you are happy with yourself.
So your guy doesn't like wine.
So drink beer.
This guy doesn't like beer.
So don't drink. The little mysterious nafesh, come on.
What about the fact that it's much more expensive?
Wine. We'll give you a donation.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, anyway, but it just keeps the guy much more in control, and it makes it also much safer, because you cannot get, it's much less likely that you'll by accident overdrink and get yourself, it's much less likely. Doesn't mean you can't get, if the guy wants to get drunk, he can get drunk on wine too. You know, I'm not advocating it, but you could. If you want to, you could. But you don't get to that crazy level where you have to go to the hospital. That doesn't usually happen on wine or beer. I guess it could happen too if you drink enough, you know. But it doesn't usually happen. But it can happen and has happened, you know, with the I've been in the hospital, spent Purim day Purim in the hospital. And it's a little bit inconsiderate. I don't want to spend my Purim in the hospital. You know? So we do as the guys, you know. Okay, you know, it's safer. Shemarat al nafsho seichem is a major mitzvah. You know, you got to be safety. And lo aleinu, you know, there's a main street in front of the yeshiva. If a guy's totally drunk, chas v'shalom, who knows what the guy can do? There was a case in Israel. I thought there was a true story. I know you people know the Ramot Road that goes from Sanhedrin Rechavet Ramot. It goes a windy highway around the mountain. Cars go speeding down that road. So there was a guy on Purim, decided he was going to walk to Ramot. And then he decided in the middle of the walking, he decided that he's too tired. He lied down in the middle of the highway, right? It's, you know, he's basically for sure dead. But just somebody was with him, risked his life, and pulled him off the road about a second before a car came speeding down the highway. But, you know, so, okay, Baruch Hashem, nothing happened, you know. But you do, it is a thing. So we do prefer, guys, we use... Now, I can't, you know. Okay. Also, with the high school, please don't give the high school kids to drink, and don't encourage them to drink. And, you know, that's also in general. If you're going out during the day, we don't think it's good to go out in the neighborhood too drunk. It's first of all, it can. Some people don't understand it, and it's a chiddo Hashem, you know. I don't say can't have a little bit to drink, but you know, a little bit, you know, but totally dry. I don't know. You have to use your seichel. Okay. Anyway, those are the main two things that I worry about in Purim. Is mevaza b'nei chaver b'rabim and shmart es nafsho seichel. You know, if that doesn't happen, I have a very happy Purim. Okay. Other things you do have to worry about is a little bit of sneeze. There has come a minig. It is obviously, as we said, Purim has become a Jewish Halloween. So therefore, the minig has become, maybe it's also really a Jewish Rosh Hashanah, because I think the Goyim do this on New Year's also now, no? They wear costumes, so it's like Yom Kippur, so it's like Rosh Hashanah, so okay. Anyway, so there has become a minig that people wear costumes. I do not think, you know, that, you know, it's not an, it's, it is... Whatever it is. I don't think it's an old minig. And it happens to be brought down this far, but I don't think it's that's where it comes from. I do think it, but whatever it is, it's fine. The guys want to have costumes. If it adds to the simcha, fine. Anything that's kosher and adds to your simcha, we are more than happy. We want guys to be happy. But when you make a costume, please do it in a sneezing way. We have had guys who've come. You know, one year we have a guy who basically shaved his legs and put on a bra and a wig, and he looked like a girl, you know, everything. He looked exactly like a girl. I came to the yeshiva, what's that girl doing dancing with the guys, you know? You know, that is not, we don't, you know, so that is not proper. We've had guys who are dressing up with worse than that, you know, as prostitutes. You know, that there are certain dresses, forms of dress that are not sneezed. Even if you walk around without your shirt, you're a Tarzan, it's not sneezing. You know, we don't want a ripped shirt, a half a shirt. You know, a person should wear a costume that is sneezing. Don't dress up like a girl, please. You know, and don't dress up like a Mr. You know, you want to have long hair, fine. You want to look like... some cool dude, whatever. Fine, but you know, whatever it is. Now, I did have to warn people that I do try and analyze costumes, but obviously, some people wear costumes because that's the cheapest thing they could get. But sometimes I always wonder that there is some psychological reason why the guy's wearing this costume. You know, if you see a guy wearing a Superman costume, you like always can wonder, is that his dream to be Superman? Okay. Anyway, but in all seriousness, a person should be careful and sneeze in the costumes. Person also have to be careful. There's a thing called Nichnas Yayin Yotza Said. Right, which right, because yayin and side are in gematria the same. I assume that's not the only reason why that's true, But that is a mushel. Yain and soy both are 70. So when a person drinks, they have a tendency of spilling the beans. So it just, it has happened that sometimes people have certain secrets they don't want to tell. So if you have a secret they don't want to tell, don't get drunk. That's good advice. Because there has been cases where guys have gotten drunk and they told some of their secrets, and then after that they couldn't stay in yeshiva anymore because everyone knew their secrets and they were a little bit embarrassed. So let's say you have a secret that you've gone and killed someone, you know. So you don't want anyone to know. So, you know, or your secret that your parents killed someone. I don't know, you know. Or that you're a vampire. I don't know, whatever your secret is. So you don't go ahead. I would not recommend that you drink because then you're liable to tell someone.
Are you supposed to get help? What's you need help?
Oh, yeah, you can get help, but that's not the way you're going
to
get help.
You want to spill your secret, you can get help.
But you don't want to tell it to every single guy in the yeshiva.
Better than no one knows or everyone knows?
I don't know. So go ahead and give yourself the guts and go over to Rabbi Brigida and tell him. And, you know, hopefully. There are a lot of guys that tell Rabbi Brigida. I'm sure he has helped some vampires. I'm sure. Everything else under the sun. You know, he's but, you know, but the mice, It is true that there you know, a lot of people, even including myself, you know, people have things that they don't want to, you know, it's one thing. I'm not interested. Everyone has to know my personal business. So even if I don't, you know, you have to at least make up your mind. You be careful not to tell, because it has happened more than once. In fact, much more than once. That people have told things on Purim and then they felt bad that they spread it around. So at least make up your mind that you're going to keep things, you know, private. Okay. We also ask the guys be careful, you know, mentioning they should make a Chiddush Hashem in the neighborhood. The people do not everyone in the neighborhood fully understands Purim. And, you know, they see people, especially if the guys are drunk, you know, what's going on? Shitty guy's drunk. So we if the guys are going to get a little bit intoxicated, we prefer they do it inside the, you know, the building, not outside. In general, if the guys, I don't know if are the guys going around Purim Day? So the guys, please, first, if anyone's driving, they cannot drink. That's safety. You can't drink when you're driving. That's shum oifen. The second thing is when you come to someone's house and they offer you to drink, in general, I don't think the guys should drink in the people's house because, you know, you drink here a little bit and here a little bit and here a little bit, you can get good and drunk. I think it was either last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I don't remember anymore, a guy told me he went to someone's house and he drank and he got drunk. Which house was that? You know, you never know. You can have it at the best houses. Someone said he got to my house and he got drunk on hard stuff at my house.
What?
Because another guy had brought his bottle with him, put it on the table. It was in a camouflage bottle, whatever. And this guy thought that I put it on the table, so he drank it all. He got drunk at my house. He told me he got good and drunk. He figured it come through, you know. So you never know. But that's what happened. Right? Was there someone here? I don't even know who told me that. But someone told me that he got, that you know, he wanted to know why I put out the hot.
Did he tell you that when he was drunk?
No, he told me after Purim that, you know, you had hard liquor. You know, why did you have hard liquor in your house? And I got drunk in your house. Like, what's going on? So I said, I didn't have any. Okay, fine, figured it out. But the guys really should not really, you know, be careful. I don't, you know, again, use your seichel. I know that's a hard thing to say. But use your seichel, but it's not so good to be drunk when you're running in the neighborhood. You know, you want to be a little bit of happy, okay. But because there are people that do not understand, and, you know, they they say, this is what yeshiva guys are. Now, there are a lot of people that do understand. There are people who come from yeshivish backgrounds and they're used to it. But there are still some people in Florida. There are still some people in Florida that are not from yeshivish backgrounds, and they do not understand this. I know Rabbi Che told me that there was one parent that they lost their kid because on Purim. Because he said that it was a little different. He says Rabbi Che said he had his high school class over for a chagig in his house, and the kid came home drunk. Says after that, his parents never spoke to him again, and they took the kid out of the yeshiva, but they basically what are you making such a face for?
I'm a little shocked.
Why are you shocked?
The parents didn't talk to the kid ever again.
No, the Rebbe ended again.
Oh!
No. Rabbi Che put a bottle of wine on the table. Okay, he put a bottle of wine. And this kid apparently helped himself to much more than he should. And he came home drunk, and the parents were like so angry at Rabbi Che that for the next 3 years, whatever it was, they never spoke to him, and they never let his son have anything to do with the yeshiva, because what? Yes, I'm more reasonable. But, because in their mind that this was like the greatest avla in the world, which, okay, maybe they're right, Okay, you let a high school kid get drunk and, comes to the Rebbe's house, he comes home drunk. But guys should be careful a little bit. Okay. I did also have here a mazik. Okay. Sometimes you just have to, not to break other people's property. Even though it's Purim, you have to be careful not to break property. Sometimes guys get carried away, we also ask that there are, sometimes by mistake or whatever, it is possible that someone might drink more than he should, and there is a little bit of danger. So we ask the other guys to try and be Ba'alei Chesed and try and keep an eye on the person. Even though it's really not fair, because this guy, because he wants to have a fun Purim, now I have to go ahead and spend my time on Purim watching him. It's not fair. I want to have a fun Purim. You're right. But Aval Bikain, it's sometimes you have to, his life isn't fair. We have to, what can we do? If you do see someone who drank more than he should, and you think there's a danger that he could either hurt himself, like by running into the street, or he could hurt himself because by drinking more, continuing to drink more, and he might end up in the hospital because you gotta keep an eye on him. If he's your roommate, then what can you do? You gotta keep an eye on him. Sometimes guys fall asleep drunk. I don't know. You have to watch a guy doesn't choke, on a vomit. There is such a thing. He has to sleep. I'm not even the bucky on this. Other people are bikiim. You have to sleep on what?
Side or stomach.
Because otherwise, chas v'sham, he can choke on his, in his sleep. So, someone has to know. I think there are people who know. Here we have an expert. we have people that know. So, it's a mitzvah. If you do see someone that needs help, you can even take away his bottle. I give you, but only some people. Some people shouldn't take away their bottles.
How do you take away their bottles? They're just going to take it back.
Okay.
You should probably tell Rebbe.
Yeah, okay, tell Rebbe. No, certain people shouldn't tell Rebbe because I just get into a fight. I take it back. Yeah, it depends who you are. So certain people, if you take away the bottle, they'll just get the guy more upset. Sure. And he'll just hit you over the head with the bottle. you shouldn't take away the bottle. I take it back. But certain people can do it. I can do it, right? You take the bottle, you fill it up with water, I don't know, you just give it back to him. But I didn't really mean that. That's not really what I meant. I take that back. That's just going to get into a big fight. We don't want, the worst thing we want is we don't want fights. If someone is doing something you don't think is appropriate, you're not the Rosh Hashiva, you're not the Mashkiach, we're not asking anyone to be the disciplinarian. Each person can decide himself how he wants to celebrate the Purim. That's we don't want machlokes, and we don't want fights, and we want it's a great, much better. Everyone should be besimcha, but you should try it. If you see someone who is in a precarious situation, with, you know, and I don't mean just because he's drinking, a little bit of liquor. I mean, he's there are people sometimes that they're really, it's dangerous, you know, that they've crossed a red line, and they're, you know, you can see that they're mamish, you know, they don't know what they're doing. They're totally out of control, and they're just, they're liable to run into Chas Shalom Miami Gardens Drive, or they're liable to jump off the roof and think they're Superman, or they're liable to, you know, to drink more, and they're already are way past the limit. So then you do have to try and watch over them, or put them to bed, get them to, you know, help convince them that they should go to bed, go lie down, you know, whatever. There are ways. Okay. Anyway, that would be a big help. If guys could be responsible, you know, to help others. But if the guys don't mind, I think the best suggestion is, you know, we make Arrow happy because he won't have to clean up the throw up. It's also a chesed, right? Arrow's a tzaddik, you know. Got to help him out, poor guy. You know that the saves yeshiva from being destroyed. It's also illegal for the yeshiva to have a drinking officially. To have the guys as underage drinking. So we do, you know. I think we said this also in previous years, that if Lu Yitzur, you want to break the rules and you're going to drink liquor, don't do it in the building, please. Because yeshiva is not allowed to see. I'm not allowed to see, guys drinking liquor. It's illegal. You can be arrested for that. You know, underage, you're not allowed to have underage drinking in the yeshiva. No. Okay, anyway. All right, and with that wonderful tone, Be'ezus Hashem, we should have a Purim.